Okay, well, it looks like we are live. Thanks everybody for your patience. Good morning and welcome to the May 8, 2025 meeting of the Orange County Human Relations Commission. The agenda contains a brief general description of each item to be considered. Except as provided by law, no action shall be taken on any item not appearing on the agenda. Public participation is encouraged in person and via Zoom. Public comments will be accepted during the open forum portion of the meeting. If you are attending in person and wish to speak during open forum, please complete a speaker request form and turn it into the clerk prior to the start of open forum. If you are participating via Zoom and would like to speak during open forum, please click the raise hand icon in Zoom or dial *9 when open forum is called. When you are called upon to make your comment, unmute yourself or dial *6. For those calling in, you will be called upon by your telephone number. Please state your name if you wish to identify yourself prior to speaking. Speakers will be given 3 minutes to speak and the clerk will run the timer and announce when your time is up.
Okay. So item two is our opening quote reflection. They want to do a new schedule. Remember we were going to ask that. Yeah.
In the past, we've had a schedule, and so we can prepare that for the next meeting. To have a schedule that will alternate the members of the commission to provide that.
Sounds great. Let's do that for moving forward.
Wonderful.
Okay, thank you.
Item number three is monthly summary of commission activities.
And this again, if anyone has, at this time, if anyone has anything to share from the commission on any, perhaps any activities that they've participated in that were related to the kind of scope and charge of the Human Relations Commission, this would be an opportunity to do so.
I think it's a good time to talk about a subcommittee that met, if that's okay.
Oh, and we also have that as item number five.
Well, then I'll wait.
So we're
that's all I did. So happy to move that along. Anyone else want to share anything?
The next is open forum, and we do not have any requests to speak. So that would go to item four, which is conduct election for commission vice chair for remainder of 2025 calendar year.
I want to make a motion to table this item until our next meeting of the Orange County Human Relations Commission. I'd like to give Joanne the opportunity to serve in this role should she want to. And since she's not here, also Commissioner Briceño is not here, it makes sense to me to postpone this vote until our next meeting.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? I think it passes.
Okay. So then item number five, receive update from hate crime report ad hoc committee.
And did staff want to talk about it at all before, or I can just jump into it?
If you want to jump in, and then we're happy to help.
Okay, great. Well, I'm happy to report the subcommittee met to discuss our task in identifying and defining hate incidences as a county. We had a really thoughtful and robust discussion, and we reviewed the guidance provided by staff from LA County. At our next meeting, we will look and see how other counties, perhaps, or municipalities have grappled with defining hate incidences. We also discussed the goal of obtaining and accurately reporting hate incidences so that they're not underreported, but they're also not duplicitous, which is some of the challenges that we face. For example, if multiple people report the same incident, we don't necessarily want that to report as multiple incidences, but we need to figure out how to accurately report that information so the public knows what's really happening. We also don't want it underreported at the same time. We acknowledge the challenge of doing all of this, that we are kind of starting from scratch, and we'll continue to evaluate the best practices of doing that and also look at what other jurisdictions have done to assist us. I don't recall when our next meeting date is offhand.
Sure. We have meetings scheduled for May 22nd and June 26th.
So we do have those dates upcoming. That's all I have to report on that. If staff has anything to add, I'd love to hear it.
You did a really well good summary. I think just the other thing we were talking about is how delayed reporting is. So potentially all the work might not roll into 2026, 27, but we're also talking about how to best report what we do have in the meantime to reflect what we can.
Can you explain that just for our commissioners of the delay in that? What is the cause of that or how that works?
Sure. So currently we're in 2025. So in order to accurately reflect 2025, we would have to start whatever methodology we're going to be doing in the January of a year to be able to report the whole year. So our discussion was around theoretically, we wouldn't be able to do that for 2025 data at this point in time because we're already in May 2025. So whatever discussion we're having or whatever methodology definition will roll over until 2026.
And in 2025, we're just getting kind of the data from 2020 to 2023, right? 2023, 2024.
Yes.
So yes. There is a delay in us being able to, as a county, address things if we're not getting the information timely, but that sort of just comes with the challenges of collecting data.
Correct. And just to clarify, we're talking hate incidents.
Correct.
We also discussed at the meeting the hate crime and the Department of Justice data that was used for the prior reporting. And I think we're all on board as to continue using the Department of Justice data set to at least report hate crime information.
That was my understanding.
So, yes.
Rabbi.
Yes. It was really a fascinating meeting. I learned a lot, and so I'm appreciative for all your help. As you stated, but I just want to say it out loud, our goal is to really have a process in place to analyze 2025 in 2026. So that leaves 2024 without a way to measure hate incidents. And crime, but what we're doing is we're just going to pick the Department of Justice and use their criteria for that particular year, even though we might choose a different way coming for the next year when we have all of our process in order. Is that correct? Do I have that right?
I think it will actually, anything with regards to heat incidents, I don't think we would see reported until 2026, because we're midway through this year. That would be the earliest, which would be for the 2027 year. So we're in arrears. So this past December, in December of 2024, we reported on 2023. And the reason being for that is that the Department of Justice, they don't report until the following June. So they have a 6-month lag on hate crime data. So we would mirror that with the hate incident data as well.
Gotcha. And maybe we could just have that somewhere so I can memorize.
Yes,
that. That's really complicated to just have in your mind, but I know exactly what you're saying, which leads me to the next point. Last year's report was, I don't know what to call it, but it wasn't really produced by the commission. It was kind of by staff. It was a little of this. So whatever we do in this next year, I just want to make sure, you know, kind of like, saying this is the data we've captured from Department of Justice, and then in the following years it will be the Orange County Human Relations Commission report on hate in Orange County, however we decide to do that. Mm-hmm. I just last year we got so many people saying, oh, what's this, doesn't make sense, I thought hate crime was more da, da, da. Like, well, it wasn't really a full year, we didn't really capture it in all the ways that we were supposed to. So I just want to make sure that whatever we do going forward in the advertising of the report or the publishing of the report is clear, like we need one more year to really get our protocols in order, so these years count and here's some information, but it's not really the full picture.
I mean, we can do that in the foreword or the introduction, yeah, of the report. We can just kind of do more of a snapshot as to where we're at, the work that the ad hoc is doing.
We show that.
And we can help explain, and we'll think of some, with our team's help, we'll think of some good graphic to kind of explain kind of how it's in arrears, because it is confusing.
It is confusing. And I just don't want the commission to become irrelevant. So we're going to basically have 2 years where the data isn't so scientifically robust as we would like it to be, as kind of we discussed. So I just think we ought to be super transparent about that, put it out there and say, but come 2027, we're going to have a process that really reflects the breadth of what we're trying to do.
And I would think adding to.
Sorry to be so confusing, but I just.
No, yeah, it's important.
I would think we'd still have crime, but then also the incidents, right? So trying to get more of a full picture of what's going on in Orange County.
Ask a question. Yep.
Go ahead.
How do we combine the data? We get it from the DOJ or is it all the police department in Orange County? Mandatory report to the county, or how's that work?
Correct. So for the past report, we use the Department of Justice data set, which is all of our Orange County jurisdictions reporting to the Department of Justice. So that's the data set we used. So,
and there were a couple that did not report because there was like a technical glitch or something like that, that they did not submit some of that data. So we were just, and we noted that throughout because we know that if, it all depends on what data set you're using. So we were sure to call out kind of any limitations in the data set that we did have.
So, and just to be clear, the Department of Justice data set is hate crime. So that's different than hate incident, right? So hate incident is what we're trying to flesh out for how we're going to report hate incidents. And typically hate incidents, even though some are reported to police agencies, don't necessarily get released through this Department of Justice data set. It's only what was met the criteria for a hate crime.
So the nonprofit that was doing it before it came to the CEO's office, is they were getting data from nonprofits that were tracking from police agencies, and we just want to clean it up so that it's really streamlined in a way that isn't repetitive, and also though that it captures the breadth of what we're trying to do. So that's what we're trying to figure out for the hate incidents.
And I want to share a few thoughts and then I'll ask you. Here's what I'm thinking. I am so glad that we have this opportunity to define this moving forward. And I hope you'll indulge me because our agenda is not that big today that I can talk about this now, not in our subcommittee. But I do really have a grave concern about us not reporting hate incidences over the last, since October 7th. And I think that we have faced the most hate incidences in this county for multiple communities than we have ever seen, at least I've ever seen in my lifetime. And so I don't know how we address that, but I don't want us to report to the public, I'm sorry, we don't have about 2 years of data for you for the most like horrific period of hate incidences in this county in the history of the county. We're working on it. Like, I don't want that to be the report because I don't think that's fair. And we will look back in history and not have that information. I don't, this is not my area of expertise. I don't know how we address that or reflect that, but I really think we face a loss and the public has a loss if we're not capturing the impact of that on our communities. It really does a disservice to the victims of those hate incidences. So I hope that we can continue to talk about how we can deal with that period of time that we're not able to implement these new methods to report. But I don't want to see us not report anything and just say, sorry, we didn't have the tools. It's just, it's not fair. No, it's not fair to the victims.
After.
Yes.
Madam Chair, I'm sorry for asking too many
questions.
No, you're pleasing. You know, it seems to me like, correct me if I'm wrong, the data has to go to DOJ, and then they depends on whatever they have, resources they have, and then they have to tally all that stuff and then circumvent back to the county. Is there any way that, does the county any leverage to or incentive for all the police department in Orange County reporting directly to the county instead of to the DOJ? So maybe that we can have a better data.
So that's an interesting point. So the that worked on it prior had that, and there was discrepancies in the numbers. So some of the contacts at some of the police agencies would give different information than how the police agency had reported it to the Department of Justice. So that was one one flaw to that methodology. And then the other flaw was not all police agencies reported it to that organization. So what they would do is they would wait until the Department of Justice released the numbers and use the numbers of those agencies they didn't receive directly information from. So just moving forward for that past one, we used just the Department of Justice data set because we could stand behind saying that this is what the police agencies did report as hate crimes for Orange County.
Can I make a recommendation along the lines of Commissioner Doe's question? It sounds like there is a multiple layers with the nonprofit. The police agencies were reporting to the nonprofit. The nonprofit was giving the numbers back to the county. Hey, this is what it looks like. So I know the numbers weren't accurate. The criminal numbers were fairly accurate. The incidents were definitely not accurate. I think a workaround, an asterisk, if you want to call it, until 2027, where everything comes, starts coming in more robust, to use the rabbi's word from the DOJ, is we have maybe a certain agency, let's say Irvine PD, that is in charge of gathering all the data. And you know, since the data is collected and shared primarily via crime analysts, they know exactly what to look for, what to filter through to make sure that these are accurate numbers. That's probably a better network and a better fix for now. Mm-hmm. Again, it's just a recommendation, but it's a fix for now. And it could be our asterisk, but we could start sharing these numbers right away instead of waiting until 2027. And I'd be more than happy to volunteer my department to start gathering this information and collecting it, because it's part of what they share anyway. So it's not like it's creating that much more work for our folks. The numbers are there. It's more about the individual police agencies or the sheriff department verifying the stats. And then we collectively put it together in some sort of a document that we would be more than happy to share. So that way it gets the county, when I say the county, that the residents, the businesses, and us in this room, the numbers like that.
And Chief, Irvine is already collecting the data on
Correct.
Incidences. Mm-hmm. So this would be in collecting data from other cities, or is that what you're proposing?
Correct. So let's say you're a crime analyst for City X. So we would just reach out to you, be like, hey, could you provide your numbers? And you would just go through all the different reports that were reported, whether they're criminal or incident, make sure the numbers are accurate or dispoed. Maybe something was initially taken as a hate crime, but then it was converted into a hate incident because it didn't quite meet the elements. And that's what a crime analyst will do. And then once that is verified from Department X, they would share it with us. Like, okay, now we have Department X, we go to Department Y, and so on and so on. So we could definitely collect that. It would take some time, it would take a few weeks, but better than waiting almost 2 years for something like that.
I can make a motion for that. If
is that a proper way to do it, or do we have to
be agendized?
The subcommittee,
we can agendize, or if he's volunteering, he can report back at the next meeting if you want.
I think that we should work in the subcommittee to put together what that proposal will look like, so that we can bring it back at the next meeting, and then
okay,
take Commissioner Doe's motion at that time, and we'll move it along if everyone supports that.
Yeah, I think there's more details to obviously iron out. And I think in our meeting on the 22nd, it's probably a better setting to talk about all the details.
But yeah, I think that the chief was perfect. I mean, at the same time, all the agency in Orange County can share data in real time, and they might connect the dots.
Yeah. In most agencies, I can't speak on behalf of all agencies, but I'm pretty confident most agencies are keeping track of thus far. Okay, for 2025, this is where we sit today. I know we do, and I'm pretty confident that you're correct here that the data gathering hasn't been perfect. You know, in the last couple of 2 years, a few years, I would argue going all the way back to COVID when the company, the nonprofit that was, thank you, I'm just blank for a second, when they were gathering, their numbers were significantly off from what we had for our COVID numbers. And so this goes back a few years. This is not any time recent. So I think for us being able to gather that and working with other police agencies, we know exactly what we're looking for. We'll be able to provide the public something pretty transparent.
It's like a gift. Wonderful. I have a question for our county folks, and or maybe you know, in terms of the agencies that are not reporting to the Department of Justice their hate crimes, is there a mechanism? Is that to be addressed by the legislature? Like, how does that get compelled?
It was a one-off. There was a couple. There were two.
Oh. It's just an. It's just,
oh, yeah. No, I think they had
like defiance or something. Thankfully,
no. I don't think. But I think they've reported previously. It was just there was a change in how they like the system, and so there was a couple city, and it also may have been an issue where they just didn't meet the deadline because essentially, you know, they had to close the books, right, on it, so to speak, and they may have just not been able to get it together.
And just to be clear, it was four agencies that didn't have a full year, so they did give partial information. So, yeah.
Because I think it addresses Commissioner Stowe's question from earlier regarding compelling agencies to give information. What we can compel agencies to do is very little compared to what the DOJ can do. So it would be great if we could get everyone to report directly, but legally, I don't think we have a mechanism to require that. But this is a good discussion as to how information comes in and why it's sometimes a little bit different depending on how we're getting it.
Did they say compelling?
Also, too, by using the hate crime data from the DOJ, it allowed us to do those comparisons to the California data, knowing that it was all under that same methodology. So it allowed us that, which was helpful, I think, in this past report, just to show at least some initial trend data as we go.
You know, there are some politics involved in this, too. The back in the day, it doesn't feel like it is anymore, but back in the day, no city wanted to really share their hate stuff because they didn't want to be the city that was known. So that's where we did in the aggregate of all of Orange County. And the county sometimes had problems with that as well, that we were doing that. I feel like we're kind of past that. Hate's too popular, unfortunately, that people really want to know. But not that that played in them not supplying their statistics, but it has been a factor in the past about how we put the report together and so forth. But I feel like COVID and whatnot, particularly with the Asian hate during COVID, we kind of passed that point where I don't think it's such a consideration, but just something to keep in mind as we go forward.
Interesting.
Okay. All right, next item, item number six, update from OC Chiefs and Sheriff.
Nothing significant to report. The only thing I will mention is immigration is still a big topic in our communities. I'm sure a lot of you heard about the HSI operation that was in Irvine last week. It was not immigration related. It was not ICE. It was a different unit from HSI that was there. But that's an example of how it could create a lot of panic within the community. So yesterday we actually coincidentally had our Orange County Chiefs and Sheriff Association meeting. It was a topic of conversation amongst us all. And the HSI officer in charge that's in all our meetings, again, reassured us that that if there was an operation, specifically an ICE operation, that was going to impact any one of the Orange County cities, that the local police department is going to be notified, that they are going to be in our town, know exactly what that operation is going to entail. And again, to just reemphasize police departments, sheriff's department, we do not partake in immigration enforcement. And if that was to happen, this is an HSI operation, but the officer in charge also assured us that their tactics are not to target, you know, churches, schools, hospitals, community centers, those types of areas. And if there was going to be any significant, like I said, operation that would impact anywhere in the Orange County, that impacted area would be notified. So I just want to make sure I share that because it has been obviously a topic of conversation for quite some time, but it's picked up again in the last couple of weeks.
Got a question or two?
Please.
Are you aware of whether or not there have been ICE enforcement in this county? Do you know? There was rumors in Santa Ana that there was, and people said that there wasn't. Do you know whether there's been action?
Yes, I don't.
And Huntington Beach.
I don't want to speak on behalf of those chiefs, but I know I spoke with Chief Rodriguez from Santa Ana yesterday. There, from his understanding, there haven't been ICE enforcement operations within the city. I think he might have released a letter or some sort of a publication last night discussing that, but there have been HSI operations within the city. So
what kind of operation?
HSI is there, but as far as in specific, specific ICE operations, again, I think that the best people to ask are those that are in charge of, like, if you ask me, have we had any in Irvine? No, we have not. So
can I inquire whether we should be drawing a big distinction between HSI and ICE in this moment where the federal government appears to be using both?
So ICE, Immigration Custom Enforcement, is a branch of Homeland Security. So that's, I think that's part of the challenge, is even on ICE operations, you will see them wearing a vest or some sort of marking that says HSI, and that's why they look at it as the same thing. But it's kind of like if you take one of the larger federal agencies, the FBI, for example, but you have sex crimes, you have fraud, you have, you know, whatever it may be, financial crimes. So there's different units, different divisions that investigate certain things, and the same applies here. With you have HSI, and one of the branches that falls under that is Immigration Custom Enforcement.
And can you explain, if you can, sure, how California, being a sanctuary state, is it in conflict with any of these actions? Mm-hmm. How would a chief deal with that? What do we make of that?
So Senate Bill 54 pretty much prohibits, I mean, in short, prohibits California law enforcement from taking any type of immigration enforcement action. We do not do that. And quite frankly, even prior to SB 54, I can't speak on every single department within the state or sheriff's department, but I know Orange County, we didn't do that. That was not part of what we do. I'll give you an example of how mindful and cautious we're being on some of what's happening out in the field. But so even when SB 54 came into play, it didn't really change our operations. So we were still doing exactly what we've been doing. Well, part of it goes to exactly what we're talking about in this room, is we have a major challenge when it comes to addressing hate within the community. Well, part of the reason is the numbers. We talk about the numbers. We've talked about the numbers for years. You know, I've been on this commission for 3+ years, and that's been a topic of conversation. And I think even until 2027, when we start getting more robust numbers, it's still going to continue being a topic of conversation. Well, people are not calling the police, and part of that is fear of the police. And you know, part of my message and all the Orange County chiefs and the sheriff message is we're everybody's law enforcement, we're everybody's police, we're everybody's sheriff. We want people to trust us to be able to call and report these incidents that are happening to them, to their families, to their children, to their loved ones. And I think that's what's really important when it comes to SB 54. But what, to give you an example of how mindful and cautious we're being as well. So the current administration placed anywhere from 600, I've heard two different numbers, 600 to 700,000 administrative warrants into this, the national database. You know, when an average police officer pulls these up, like, oh, this person has a warrant for an arrest. Well, it's an administrative warrant. If we were to arrest this person for that warrant, it's actually a violation of their Fourth Amendment right. So when we learned about this, it was very crucial that we message to our officers, whether it's in briefing setting or a training setting, or dispatchers who are running these folks, that our officers are coming in contact with in the field, and know what a difference between the normal warrants that we come across on a daily basis versus this administrative warrant. And all that is, it's information, do nothing with it. So, you know, it's something that's obviously that falls more under the federal department, specifically HSI, to look into. But as far as local law enforcement, we do not touch that. But that's another example of how mindful, how cautious we're being when we're out there within the community.
Thank you for sharing that information.
Can I ask you a question, Chief?
Please.
You know, all the homeland security operation that you have experienced, especially in your city, Do you know if they target a specific individuals, or is a illegal alien sweep? Which one is that? They target specific person on the list, or they just like go and just
for Irvine operations. I'm only aware of one, maybe two HSI operations that have occurred this year within our city, and both were a federal criminal investigation. They were not immigration related.
Oh,
yeah, they weren't necessarily. They were targeting yes, a certain person that's under investigation, but it wasn't as a result of their immigration status.
It's not just a random stopping.
No.
Anyone who's suspected to be undocumented. Okay.
And I understand they're limited in what they can share with us, but they've been pretty open when we ask them questions and follow-up questions, like, what are you doing and what kind of investigation and how's it going to impact? Because we're trying to be mindful of the impact that's going to have within that street, that community, that neighborhood, but also our city. And you know, it's made national news that HSI was in Irvine. So I think it's really important that we find all this out, and it's on me to make sure that I'm messaging it to my boss, our council, that you know, this is happening within our community as well.
Yep. Are you aware of any in the county, like, you know, how many deportations? No.
We don't get involved.
Got it. Yep. Thank you. This has been really helpful. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Item number 7, OCSD Interfaith Council update.
Yes, so the next meeting of the Sheriff's Interfaith Council, which just as a reminder, started around Ferguson, maybe 10 years ago, I think. God, is that long ago? Wow. And an opportunity for faith leaders to meet with the sheriff on a regular basis, to advise him, and then really to educate one another in a lot of ways. And so oftentimes it'll be at faith-based places, synagogues, mosques, with ours, whatever it might be. And then oftentimes at law enforcement, particularly sheriff's places. So this next one is a week from today on the 15th at the new Sheriff's Technology Center, which apparently is quite fascinating and interesting, and really gives us an opportunity to interact. Generally, when we're in a city at a faith-based place, the local chief is invited as well to come share, and then we teach about the faith, we teach about whatever the law enforcement issue is as well. And so that's the next one. If you're interested in going, always an open invitation, so let me know and I'll make sure you get on the list. It's always a good way to connect and whatnot. And just to quote Sheriff Hutchins, may she rest in peace, she said, you know, it's better to gather on a regular basis so we know each other, so that when the crisis comes, we can pick up the phone and we're not starting from scratch. And it's really, really true. And, you know, there was a anti-Semitic thing before COVID, I think, where they spray painted on the walls of my neighboring synagogue. And there was a press conference and the sheriff showed up, but the sheriff wasn't involved. It was in Irvine, so forth and so on. I said, Sheriff, why are you here? You're not speaking. She goes, showing up matters. Mm-hmm. And that always stayed in my head. And I see the commission in the very same light. She's the one who started the commission with Sheriff Barnes as her undersheriff at the time. And he's really taken it, I think, to the next level. He personally chairs each meeting we have. I mean, he shows up. He takes it very seriously. So, and that's a commission product. I just like to brag about that because I think people should know about that. It's been really effective.
Okay. Item 8 is county update.
I wanted to take the opportunity to introduce, I have a few staff here from our team so that you can kind of get to know them as well. So I know you've met Chrislyn Nefas, and she has a couple members from her team that I'd like her to introduce as well, because they'll be helping us as we gather report data and things like that.
Sure. So we have Martin Kobos, he is our data analytics manager. And then we have Lambert, who is our new data analytics graduate intern on board. So will be potentially part of data collection and helping out as well.
And I also wanted to introduce Liz Gian Merchant. She is one of two assistant deputy COOs for the county, and she helps oversee the, you say programs one and two, but that won't mean anything to anyone. I had that's what
three and four, I know.
Social services, healthcare agency, public safety, as well as our Orange County Community Resources, and a whole lot of other things. She's really instrumental also in our OC Cares program. And so she's going to be attending these to also back me up because, heaven forbid, I've got a sick kiddo or something that doesn't allow me to be here, but definitely want to introduce you to her, and she'll be participating in this as well.
Welcome, nice to meet you.
And I did have a couple other items as follow-ups from the last board meeting in the minutes. There was some questions, I think, Rabbi, that you had about how to handle feedback from the commission. And I think you kind of took that back to the group. And I think what we'll be looking to, and especially at that November meeting, because we'll be kind of a year in that November meeting, then that first meeting of 2026, yikes, believe it or not, is I would love to have an agenda item on that. We'll probably place something on that agenda to gather some of that feedback as to, you know, we're a year in, what's working, what's not, and then I can gather that information and bring that back to the CEO's office, and as well as seeing that I think the board's ad hoc that they had has expired. Those only run on a calendar year, but they may look to re-up that based on that information, that feedback. And I do provide after our meetings, just kind of a brief synopsis to them. I don't know if, I know every commissioner kind of has a different relationship with their appointing member. So you may have some of those same conversations with them, but I do provide it to their chiefs of staff, just as a general overview to keep them aware and in the loop. And the other item that had been brought up was kind of one of the big changes in the bylaws was, or one of the, not the big change, one of the changes in the bylaws was looking at statements from the commission. And after some thoughtfulness on that topic, was looking at that, I think, and we've seen this happen with the homeless commission as well, is that if there are kind of those concerns from the commissioners, I would encourage you to reach out to your appointing member. And then they have that opportunity to kind of hear that information and then, you know, decide if that's something they wanted to bring to the board. We saw that on a homeless commission item, actually really from Supervisor Sarmiento. He has a staff member here today. And he then brought that information to the board for consideration. And then they were able to hear that input and then have that discussion at the board level and see if there was going to be any next step. So I think those processes would seem to work that way. But as questions come up, as we're in this first year, keep them coming because, as always, it's all in the details. Mm-hmm. And so there may be things that we, you know, that were in those bylaws that we may need to flesh out, or we may need to, you know, get some additional guidance on. And just really appreciate everyone's help in kind of this rebuilding year of the commission, and just appreciate having the opportunity to work with you all on that.
So two thoughts. First, I just want to say thank you. I'm really glad it's in the CEO's office and that you're all taking it so seriously. I think we're in a moment here where the county ought to take this seriously, as it always has. I didn't mean to imply otherwise, but at this highest level, it's just really appreciated. So that's A. B, with respect to making statements, what I didn't hear you say is the commission could create a statement, vote on it, and then send it up to see if the supervisors wanted to adopt that. Better we should call our individual supervisors and deal with it that way. Because what we used to do is we used to have an ad hoc who would get together for 3 weeks and work on a statement and then send it up, but they'd have to get approved here. So you're saying maybe let's try this year not doing that way, doing it individually.
You're individual representative. So then that member can bring it forth. And I think what it also does too is it avoids some of that confusion, because once a draft statement is provided here, it may not always be seen as draft, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we're trying to avoid, is that confusion, while also, you know, obviously you all have the ability to talk to wherever you want. And there's no restriction there, obviously, but it gives you that opportunity then, and also in a more timely fashion too, sometimes, because, you know, our board meets, although we will not be meeting for 7 weeks. So we are dark from June 24th until that first meeting in August. I think it's the 10th. I don't know, Jamie, something like that. It's that second Tuesday in August. But typically they meet every 2 weeks. So if there was something that, you know, as a human relations commissioner that you had a concern and wanted to elevate that to the board, they would be able to act more quickly on that. And as you know, as long as it's not a quorum of you all, if it's a smaller group, you know, so no Brown Act issues there, but, you know, on an individual basis or with another member, that, you know, could be something that you could do and it would be more timely.
To piggyback off that last point, if there are any legal questions about those communications, I'm happy to field those here. I think you all have my email address, but if not, I will provide that because I do understand that it gets a little, I don't know, everyone wants to be open and honest with the public here, and I think that's great. So,
we appreciate David. I know it was one of the things when I took over the commission is, I had asked our county council, I said, okay, who's my person? And I want them to be at every meeting. And they said, okay. So that was a kind of an addition there. And I really appreciated the support from our county council's office on making that a priority as well.
Okay, last is announcements from commissioners.
I would like to acknowledge the historic selection of the first American Pope, Pope Leo XIV. I hope I said that correctly, and congratulate our Catholic community members and wish him great success in his leadership, and may his leadership be guided with compassion and wisdom with the goal of peace and humanity and hope for all. All right. Well, then it looks like we can adjourn the meeting.
And just a welcome. I know we had his swearing in, but a warm welcome to Commissioner Doe. We're excited to have you.